I guess one of its most famous shows was the Springsteen show there back in the mid-70s, where he burst on the scene, you know. It was a big club that held about 800 people. So at the time, I did a record called The Turning Point, which I've never released.
And as I search this road for a sign to take me to another joint, I find myself a-wondering if either of us know. I'm headed for the turning point.
What happened was a DJ who was a fan of mine had an interview with Mick Taylor, who, of course, I knew about. You know, I mean, you can't grow up and be a Stones fan and not know about Mick Taylor.
Sure.
So he talked to Mick Taylor and just said, oh, yeah, you know, there's a guy up here you should hear. Because Mick likes to work with songwriters. I mean, he's obviously worked with some great ones. And then Mick said, well, you know, we'll send me some of his music. So the next thing I knew, I had Mick Taylor's on the phone. And we had a great conversation about music in general. And that led to him flying over to the States and recording with me this record that I never released. I'm going to release it this year, later this year, I think, because I never released it. And then after I made the record, we did about 10 shows, and one of them was at the Bottom Line, and Sirius Radio recorded it. Meg Griffin, the DJ, hosted it. And then the tapes got, the masters got lost. I had a copy of it, but, you know, I never knew what to do with it, really, because after I was done with it, I was on to new things. I got a record deal with Blind Pig, and I started doing a little more of where I was going and where I was headed to rather than what I had done, you know?
But it won't come off my finger, no matter how hard I pull. With damn eyes, I search the shadows of these lonely roads, trying to catch a glimpse of what I lost.
So cut to about 5 years later, my wife of 25 years got sick, got ovarian cancer, and she passed in 2009. And at the time, and I was doing other records and doing all kinds of stuff. And I guess about 2 years ago, I sort of really started to be able to deal with what happened and her loss. I got to know a lot about ovarian cancer, you know, and obviously, and my family, you know, I think really my kids, you know, we started to just, you know, I started to want to do something, you know. And at, just at that time, these masters basically reappeared. They were in this recording studio, and they were unmarked. So we blew the dust off of them and remixed them. You know, I called Mick up, and I told him about these things. And, it didn't make any sense to me to release them as a new record, I think, because it wasn't new. It's stuff I still perform, but I'm very fond of the songs. As a songwriter in the blues world, I don't really follow the same kind of form. Definitely the traditionalists do. I don't. I come more from the world of more like novelists, like, you know, like Dylan and Van Morrison, and, you know. But I like to play boogie woogie and blues music, so I kind of mesh the two together.
Des Moines, Chico chortled, a bead of sweat on his brow. I said, Chico mio, how's it going? Why'd you leave this town anyhow? He said, man, the scene's not a thousand deaths. No one but the tourists ask why.
Let's get to some of the songs on the album, and we talked about there are straight up blues on here, including the lead and title track, The Arson's Match, and you got your Slide Out. Were you inspired at all by Hound Dog Taylor, Elmore James, anyone like that, or did you come to the Slide in a different way?
No, yes and yes. The two biggest influences on me is songwriter and musician are probably Bob Dylan and Elmore James. Elmore James, to me, is the essential, like, right, raw, you know, emotional blues. I mean, you know, basically he's playing two strings with a slide, and it's just pure emotion. So, yeah, absolutely. And Hound Dog Taylor, absolutely. You know, obviously, Duane Allman, you know, you can't overlook Duane Allman, you know.
Sure.
As a kid, he kind of turned me on to what Slide. That's what made me go back to Elmore James. Well, sort of. I heard Elmore James when I was living in Alabama as a kid. I was in a trailer park with my dad. He was in the service. that's where I first heard Elmore James, was in Alabama, and on one of those little end of the dial, my AM radio, you know. I remember hearing, thinking, what the heck is that? And that's really, the Arsons match is an homage stylistically to him, you know. You know, the whole idea of the Arsons match is you're singing about this guy whose house was burnt down. He's talking about how his house got burnt down and how there's black smoke in the sky and, you know, that had ruined his life and now his life. And then at the end, he says, you know, why I done it, only God knows, you know. So at the end, he's the arsonist, right?
Okay, all right.
I think that's a common theme. I know I've lived it, where you burn down your own house, you blame it on the arsonist, but it's really you who lit the fire.
You know, the arson's match took my house and home. You know, the arson's match took my house and home. Left me standing knee-deep in rubble.
Well, another song with an intriguing title is Geechee Geechee Wah Wah. And,
yeah.
You know, we talked about there's different sounds other than straight up blues. That's got a more of a roots rock sound to it, but it's the title that really grabs me as well. And I love the song. Is that a real person that you're writing about there? Or where does that phrase come from?
What happened was I met these musicians in New York, and I was so taken with the way that they played. They told me about where they came from, which was Beaufort, South Carolina. And they told me all about this Gullah stuff. And what it is it's the other side of the coin, or I guess another area of the country where when the slave trade came in, the culture that developed because of the slave, same thing as the blues in Mississippi, only this happened along the sea islands of South Carolina and Georgia. You know, and then after the emancipation, after they were freed, they all settled back along these islands. And even to this day, there's still little remote sections of the islands where people speak the Gullah language, which they call Geechee. It's a language that the slaves developed so that they could communicate with each other. Because many of these people came from all different places in Africa and Trinidad and Tobago and Jamaica. You know, they came from all over. So they developed this kind of language that they could all understand, this shorthand hand language, but that the white slave owners wouldn't know what they were talking about.
Way down deep in Mexico, where the wild Santa Anas blow, there's a house full of skulls and bones, and she sits in her chair all alone.
So I met a woman there who spoke Geechee, and she was a very wise woman, and she sort of imparted a lot of wisdom when she would speak. She was an elder of states, but she was in her 80s at that time. And she was very much involved in the preservation of the Gullah culture. So a lot of what she said kind of stuck in my head. And then a little later, I went to Mexico, and I was just down in the desert in Mexico. And I met some characters down there. I was hanging out down there. And I just kind of blended it all together and wrote that song.
She speaks of power and love and that says I know what I mean. But honey, into her lips is what you're claiming. She said Geechee Geechee Wah Wah, not Geechee Geechee Wah Wah. Geechee Geechee Wah Wah, not Geechee Geechee Wah Wah.
When you were talking about Elmore James and hearing that as a little kid, it kind of struck a memory of talking to Delbert McClinton recently. And he said when he was young, music just kind of chose me. I didn't choose music. It chose me. Does that mean anything to you?
Yeah, it does. I think the first time I heard Elmore James, you know, the first time I heard Bob Dylan, the first time I heard T-Bone Walker, you know, the Beatles, you know, I mean, the first time I heard Otis Redding, I would get a chill. I get chills up my spine, and I didn't know why. And there was nobody in my family that was musically inclined except for me. I picked up very early age, I picked up an accordion and I could just play it, you know. I can tell you one thing. I was 16 when I saw Bruce Springsteen, and I saw him at the Bottom Line. It's funny it's coming back to this because I never thought about this. I wasn't going to go. I had a girlfriend at the time. It was a high school girlfriend. I was listening to his records. And she said, you know, he's playing at the Bottom Line. So we went and I stood on line, this line that went around and around and around the block. And this is before he was really known, you know. And I was about to leave the line, and this woman turns to me and she says, if you leave, you'll regret this the rest of your life. And I looked at her and she really knew, looked like she knew she was talking about. So I said, okay. So I stayed. And I was the last person to come or be allowed in the bottom line before they closed the doors. And I was put front and center, right in front of the stage. I stood 3 feet from Springsteen, and he came out with his band. And everything that I had heard my whole life that I loved, from Albert Collins to Dylan to, you know, Van Morrison to all that stuff. And then he's singing about my life in New Jersey. He's singing about every little piece of my life. I went home. I was in a deep coma, a fever for 4 days. I could not get out of bed. I was shivering. And I got up, and it all sort of coalesced for me there. It was like, okay, now I get it. I get it. I get what all this means. This is important to be able to express myself. This is important to connect to people. I understand what my mission in life is.
Because it ain't over till it's done. All the shadows, they always lead you to the sun. She said my words might tumble and flow like seas across the Sonora floor. When you light out across this valley tonight, you'll wonder what you came here for. She said Geechee Geechee Wah Wah, now Geechee Geechee Wah Wah go. She said Geechee Geechee Wah Wah, now Geechee Geechee Wah Wah go. Songs of love and loss and heroes from down Mexico way. And they sing a little tone to Saint Cecilia. She's the patron saint of song. And as their voices carry deep into the night, oh, you'll swear that you hear the